God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the seventh day of January 2007, and you are listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. Special music today from our quartet, the New Covenant Quartet, and then the message from our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, on stewardship. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you for listening.
Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears, bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything, bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.
Bigger than all the shadows that fall across my path, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my confusions, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.
Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears,
God is
bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything,
God is
bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.
Bigger than all the giants of fear and unbelief, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my hang-ups, bigger than anything, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.
Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears,
God is
bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything,
God is
bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears,
God is
bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my problems, bigger than all my fears,
God is
bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see. Bigger than all my questions, bigger than anything,
God is
bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot see.
Must not forget, with joy not regret, He died on the cross for all men. Lord, I
have not forgotten.
Jesus
only begotten.
I was lost. lost without hope.
Lost without hope.
When the Lord saved my soul.
Saved my soul. I remember that hour. By His saving power, I have not forgotten. I have not forgotten.
Prophets predicted, despised and rejected of men. But in His agony, there was ransom for me. His blood bought me joy without end. Lord, I
have not forgotten. Saving power, I have not forgotten. I have not forgotten.
Lord, I
have not forgotten.
Jesus
only begotten.
Titled today's message is Broken and Spilled Out, and Learning to be Broken. Broken and Spilled Out. Mark chapter 14, beautiful story. And what's interesting is amazing events often happen without planning. Some of the greatest things that I've been a part of were not because of organization or planning. Not against that. Some great things I've been involved in have included organization and planning naturally. So don't take it wrong. But what I'm saying is often that which we least expect, we find ourselves in amazing moments. We're getting ready to look at a story that wasn't so much planned by everyone else. It was planned by the individual. At some point in her life, she came to a point of saying, I want to do this special thing. But I don't know if she really understood how great it was really going to become. I don't know if she understood that the event that she was about to partake in, the thing that she was about to do, was going to list her into the Word of God. Now, I got to tell you something. Of all the awards or honors I've ever received, and been very few, I could probably list them all. But in that, I tell you, there's nothing greater that I can think of than to have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then beyond that, to have my name in the Word of God. That everybody, every believer afterwards would pick it up and read and know who I am. Wow, what a wonderful thing. And here we have a woman, a lady who had received Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, had great love for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In a beautiful story, she does something, and unbeknownst to her, she gets her name written in this book for eternity because of what she did. What a wonderful thing. Let's stand and take a look at this story. I've chosen Mark chapter 14. This story is in Matthew 26 and John 12 as well. Paralleling stories. The same story gives really pretty much the same information, a little bit different angle sometimes. But same situation. But in verse 3, we pick it up from this passage of Scripture. It says, and being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, that would be known as Lazarus, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work for me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whenever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. The Bible says she had done what she could. The theme of our message really lies right there. She had done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the world, this also that she had done shall be spoken of for memorial for her. Lord, we come to you now. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this great sacrifice that Mary gave unto the one whom she loved, Jesus. Some may think it was a foolish sacrifice, Lord, but it turned out to be a great memorial, a great needed sacrifice, Lord. And we thank you and praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. John talks about being at the house of Lazarus. Lazarus being, of course, the man that was raised from the dead. It's a great gathering that day. I guess if a dead man comes back to life and decides to hold a party, you're probably going to show up. I don't know about you, but I probably will. That's a pretty exciting party. Now, I've been to a lot of parties where dead men stand up and speak and say, come to my home. And boy, you know, you got a lot to be thankful for when you were just dead and now you're alive, do you not? I bet he was happy to host Jesus and all the friends and all the neighbors. And extra people began to come. I mean, everybody wanted to see Lazarus. Here's this dead man now talking. And I'm sure the rumors have been spreading and the news have been spreading. And he was really dead. And I'm sure there's some gainsayers there. Some people showed up just to find out, were you really dead? And pulled him aside saying, so what was it like? Did you see the light? Did people talk to you? What happened? You know, and all the things that you might want to ask somebody who was dead, you know. And what's it like up there? And who did you talk to? And all those things. So everybody's showing up that day. And let's just be honest. Everybody's showing up that day, not just for Jesus, but John 12 tells us that everybody's showing up that day because of Lazarus. People want to see Lazarus. It's a great day. The feast of the Passover is getting ready to take place. What a wonderful time. What's interesting about this, though, as you continue in the story, it's about 5 days later that Jesus Christ is gone. Less than a week, Jesus Christ is crucified. And the people do not know this. Oh, he's given them hints. He's told them about this. But this is not common knowledge. This is not in their forefront. Why am I? By the way, no one's thinking about it today. We're thinking about having a party for Lazarus. And so since this Lazarus party is preparing for the feast of the Passover, and everybody's gathering to give thanks and praise and to enjoy, you would think if anybody was going to get a gift, it would be Lazarus. So they show up, Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, so appreciative. And why wouldn't they be appreciative? As they show up that day and get ready for all the festivities, Martha, we know, is busy preparing. You say hi. For previous stories, she's a very busy person. Nothing wrong with that, although sometimes she lost focus. But she's preparing and getting the food ready and probably wondering, where's Mary again? You know, but she's not saying anything to Jesus this time now, is she? Remember that story. So here she is, busy, and Mary, we don't know where she is, naturally. And here we go once again, sisters kind of quarreling. Oh, they're so excited because Lazarus is alive. If you back up a little bit in our story, back to about John chapter 11, you find out the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. Beautiful story it is. You remember the sorrow of Mary and the sorrow of Martha, the expectation they had of Jesus. You remember Jesus himself, the Bible says, in that short verse, Jesus wept. All those feelings and emotions. And in that, you can see the great appreciation. I don't know about you, but I guess if I had a family member died, I guess it would depend who it was, too. But if Jesus raised him from the dead, I'd be pretty happy, wouldn't you? I know there's some exceptions in the family, but for the most part, I'd be pretty excited, you know. If certain people were to pass away and all of a sudden you were to pray and in this great sorrow, 3 days later, man, they pop up out of the grave. I don't know about you, but I think I'd remember that the rest of my life. And there'd be a sense of gratitude. There'd be a sense of appreciation that would probably go beyond the normal appreciation. That is where we find Mary now. It has been just a little bit of time, and Mary remembers what Jesus had done, and there's great love there. And it's an appropriate love. It's not an inappropriate love, as some would like to say. It's a very appropriate love for what she's received personally in her own salvation and also for the life of her brother. And something came upon her. She's at her house, and she wanted to give something to Jesus to say thanks. I mean, I'm sure she's already said thanks. I'm sure they've cried, and they've hugged, and they've shown all this appreciation and all that was there. I'm sure all that has taken place. And in this, as it's all taking place and it's all moving along here and so forth. Brother Lynn, if we could move back and remove the shining light real quick, I'd appreciate it. But as all that is taking place and as all is moving about in that fashion, and you see Mary there and she's so happy and she's so thankful, she says, no, wait a minute. That is not enough. That is not enough. There's got to be more done. There's got to be more that takes place. She says, what can I do? There's an ointment box, a perfume, a special ointment that was given to her. Now, we don't know what. Some say it was a dowry. Some say it was just a special gift. We're not exactly sure exactly what it was. But in this special gift, we find out it was worth a year's salary. Now, wait a minute. A year's salary. Now, stop and think. Don't tell me out loud, but what do you make a year? Put it all together. Some of you are laughing going, oh, about 10 bucks. Probably a short gift there. But what do you make a year? What do you get to gain? A year's salary. $30,000? $40,000? $70,000? $100,000? Think about it. A year's salary. This is what the box of ointment was worth. And as we said, maybe a dowry for when she gets married. For whatever it was, there it was. And she comes across it. And there it is, and probably in a prominent place in her house. And she comes across it. She's thinking, how can I show my appreciation? The thought hits. And I'm going to tell you where the thought comes from. The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God moves upon her. Folks, when you decide to do extravagant things, don't think it's because you're so great. It's because you have a great God. You and I only do what we do because we possess the Spirit of God. But God begins to move in our life. And so as God began to move in the life, and as that began to take place, and as all the things began to move in just a very special way, suddenly she picked it up. She goes, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to give it to Jesus. And I'm not just going to give it to him. I'm going to show the greatest form of respect and honor that I can think of. And I'm going to anoint. I'm going to anoint. And so she picks up the box and off she goes. Bob doesn't give us all the background. I don't know. Maybe she began to think about it. She's like me. I'm thinking, okay, well, do I just walk in and give it to her, to him? I mean, do I just come and say, here you go? Do I get everybody together and say, okay, special announcement, special gift? I mean, I don't know. What takes place there? Knowing Mary, she didn't really want any praise or honor. So I believe as we read our story, they're there and having the festivities, probably done eating. And as they're done eating and everyone's sitting around talking, suddenly Mary comes up. And as she walks up, she sits down. She breaks open the box. And folks, as soon as the box breaks open, a beautiful smell begins to break. You ever have something come into the house and just fills the house? I mean, just like, poof. You know, you can't hide it. You ever pop popcorn in the house? Try to hide it from everybody? It's impossible. I think I have some private popcorn. You're not having private popcorn. I mean, as soon as that's open, if you're in the farthest part of the house, you're like, whoa, popcorn. And if you didn't want popcorn, now you do. You know how it works. I mean, sometimes we're here, they'll start popping popcorn in the evening. I see your faces. Pastor, hurry up, man. I'm getting some popcorn on the way out of this place, man. I mean, it just permeates. Well, you can imagine this odor and this sweet smell. And this odor begins to just, I mean, it's an ointment worth a year's salary. This isn't cheap stuff. This isn't Walmart special. You didn't go to a guy in the corner going, hey, 10 bucks. You know, I mean, you got the good stuff this time. I mean, you invested in the good stuff. This is expensive. She cracks it. Oh, man. Wow. That opening up meant several things. As soon as she broke that seal, though, it's no longer worth a year's salary. The value has just decreased. Well, it's still valuable, but not the same value because you broke it. She breaks the seal. It begins to fill the house. She goes up to Jesus without pomp or praise or celebration. She begins to take it. She begins to anoint his head. She begins to wipe his feet. And suddenly people begin talking. Now, I know it doesn't happen in your house, in your neighborhood, but in different places, people begin to talk. And people begin to say, oh, come on. That could have been sold and given to the poor. Matthew tells us Judas said that. You know why? He was a thief. That's what Matthew says. He was a thief. Wasn't he a great Christian? No, he was a thief. Yeah, he was. And his thought was, man, we can sell that, and I can pocket some of that, and we'll give it to the poor. Jesus, hearing their thoughts, says, the poor you'll have with you always. But me, you will not. And there in amazement, people stand with all their thoughts and all their wonders of why was it spent this way? And couldn't we have spent it on something better? And why did we give it in that fashion? Why? And they miss the whole point. She was giving back to the one who had given her everything. Not just her brother, but may I say, had given her salvation. And instead of just a thank you, said, hey, appreciate that. She decided in a very real way to give something back that was more extravagant. And she gave a year's salary. Wow. Now, before you get too nervous, I'm not asking for a year's salary. I can already see it in some of your faces. Wow, preacher's asking for it. I want three. But anyways, just kidding. You know what I love about this story? There's some analogies there that are just so beautiful that I'd like to bring out today. As we take a look at this and I break it down, I'd like to give you several thoughts this morning that maybe would be a help. Number one, first of all, as I began looking at the story and looking at the life of Mary and what took place, I wrote down, we must be broken before we can blossom. In verse 3, the Bible says, being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, The Bible says, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. As I said, man, she broke the box, and all of a sudden, by the way, you know what? When you break open something like that, it can't go unnoticed. And I began to think about that, and I said, you know what? When you truly are broken about something, you understand it doesn't go unnoticed. You know, one of the greatest things we can give back to our Lord and Savior this year is not just money, not just things. But you know what God loves? A broken and a contrite spirit. Turn with me to Psalms 51 real quick. David, remember when he was involved in his great sin of adultery. And not just adultery, may I remind you, it was also murder. We always talk about the adultery as being so bad, but what about the guy who was killed, okay? I mean, with all this taking place and all that he had, of all that he could give back to God or give to God himself, he could say, God, I'll give you all my treasures, all my money. The one thing God wanted was not that. And I want to tell you something, as we're going through stewardship this morning and this week and really in the next month, you're going to think, well, preacher's just going to want money, money. I'll tell you something. Beyond your money, before you ever give a dime to God, God wants you. He wants you. You can't buy God. You can't tip God. There's nothing you're going to give to God that's going to gain you any favor except you. You. Psalms 51, 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. Judas is there. Man, you just blew it, Mary. You just lost all that ointment, all that value. You lost. Was it really a loss? I'd say she gained. You know, often your loss is someone else's gain. Some of you aren't feeling good. You have colds. You're going to go to the doctor. You're going to lose some money. You're going to buy his car. You ever get a toothache? Man, that baby hurts. And you go to the dentist. Man, and you're lost. They pull that tooth out. Is that dentist's gain? You got a mechanical problem. You go and have to get a part repaired. They take one part out, put another part on. You say, man, I lost. Well, you lost, but he gained. You see, whenever you lose something, someone else gains. That's just a fact of life. Stop and think about it. Your loss is always somebody else's gain. What we consider a loss to Mary was a gain to Jesus. And a beautiful gain. But may I also say that her loss also became her greatest gain. What you don't understand is until you become broken, until you're willing to come to a point where God can use you, where you're willing to break down, humble yourself before Almighty God, then guess what? You're not in a place where you're going to blossom in the area that you'd want. There's not a person here that wouldn't say, oh, preacher, man, if I knew all it took was a year's salary to get my name in the Bible, where for generation after generation, people would read my name. By the way, mine's already there. I wasn't going to say this till now, but it is. John the Baptist. I'm in the book. Amen. But if we could just put our name in the book, preacher, if we just take a salary, man, I'd love to do that. Boy, I'd love to. You know what? Let me tell you something. That's the neat thing about brokenness. Mary didn't break herself down and give this wonderful oxnard box of ointment so that her name would be put in the book. She gave it because she loved Jesus. And she loved what he did. And she was willing for it to cost her to get back to show her appreciation. Now, I wrote that down really for a lot of ways for us to see that we serve such an amazing God. And I don't want us to miss, as we're talking about just being a steward and giving back to God in so many areas. Listen, folks, God wants all of us. And if you were to give him all that you had and all that you are, it still wouldn't be enough to pay back for what he's done for you. What she gave was not enough to take care of what God had already done for her. This wasn't a payback situation. This was out of wonderful love. And she broke down with a heart of sensitivity to God. You know what's important to me? That brokenness, that sensitivity that she had to the Holy Spirit. As I said, that's not normal. It's not like she came up with this thought. Hey, you know what? I'm just going to give this away. I'm telling you, it was the Holy Spirit of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit knew within a week he'd be on the cross dead. He'd be in the grave. And he wanted the body anointed for a proper burial. Instead of getting afterward, he just got it before. May I challenge you as we're starting a new year. And you're thinking about what I can do for God. I'll tell you one of the things that God wants. He would appreciate a broken heart, a broken spirit. I call that a sensitivity to spiritual things. I call that somebody who's willing to humble themselves for God. May I challenge you this year, beyond any other year, would you be sensitive to what God wants out of your life? Would you, whatever he asks you to do, be willing to be broken for him and say, God, whatever it takes, I'll do whatever you want. We must be broken before we can ever blossom. If you're not willing to be broken, if you're not willing to humble yourself to the word of God, if you're not willing to break down and humble yourself to other people, never expect the great blessings of God. It just won't happen. Secondly, as I look at the story I wrote down, very obvious we must give to gain. In verses 4 and 5, it says, and there were some that had indignation within themselves. Don't you love, though, within yourselves indignation? And by the way, when you have indignation within yourself, it really is without yourself. You ever run into somebody that's indignated? It's a new word. I just made it up. I'm indignated. You can always tell. I mean, it's just a look. You look by and they go, hmm. Hmm. You know, that going, huh? You know, that guy got that look like, I can't believe you did that. Hmm. Wow. You know, kind of the snubbish look. And so all those within themselves, I mean, your body is just radiating. Look what it says there. And there's something that indignate, we know, Judas, of course, and said, why was this waste of ointment made? Now he's trying to look spiritual. For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Boy, don't you love spiritual pious gas bags? You'll catch up to that a little bit later. I just love when somebody has a better idea. Somebody comes up and says, well, I just can't believe this. You know what I've noticed in my life? The people who complain about what other people give and do, it's because they got a problem. People who give and give sincerely never complain, never worry about what anybody else is doing. They just do their part. They don't really care. Because when you do or you give something between you and God, period. What everybody else does is between them and God. When they start verbalizing and complaining, and here we are, they're complaining about it. And I'm thinking about this going, wow, wow. I also began to notice this. And as I said, most all of us would want Jesus to honor us and to stand up for us. You know, you really missed a good lesson this morning from Brother Mark, as already mentioned in our Sunday school time. But I got to remind you of something. If you're not willing to give, you'll never get. You'll never get. You know, basic Christianity is, you know, tithing. You know, and I'll just be honest with you. If you can't bring yourself to tithe, don't ever expect something back from God. He has no obligation. And if you do tithe, understand this. We haven't given yet. All we've done is what we're supposed to do, what is a reasonable service. In other words, somebody go, oh, preacher, man, I finally made it, man. I was giving 20 bucks a week to God. Now I just finally decided to start tithing. Woo, man, I'm a big spiritual Christian now. And I'm thinking, no, you kind of just got normal now. Wow, I made it to church 4 Sundays in January. Woo, man, I'm something now. And I'm thinking, you just hit average. I mean, so think about it. We get so messed up. Don't we always like to compare to the people who are less than us? How we do. Some of you think you're good basketball players. Could you compare to me? Well, of course you're good. You look at a 40-year-old fat guy that's gray-headed. You're good. It's all who you compare to. It really is. I don't see you comparing to Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Shaquille O'Neal. You don't go look at them going, you know what? They're pretty good. It's all comparisons. Hey, listen. You want to compare something? You want God's great blessings in your life? You know why Mary's name's written in this book and she got these great rewards from God? Because she gave. You will never get anything out of your Christianity until you put into it. I'm amazed. Let me share this with you real quick. And it's kind of a side note, but it's so important. If you look down and, where'd he say? Verse 4, I believe it is. Take a look at what it says here. It says, there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, now look at this. Why was this waste of the ointment made? I mean, the attitude literally was this. She just wasted good ointment, good money. Well, so what you're telling me, that by giving something to the God of the universe, I've wasted? You're literally going to tell me that by breaking this open and pouring it over the God of the universe, who not only created me but everything and saved our soul, is a waste? And I thought about that and I said, let me tell you something. Some of you think that by dedicating this year to God, that you've said, I'm going to go to every service and I'm going to start tithing, I'm going to start serving God. Some of you think in your mind, you know what? You may not verbalize, but you're thinking, what a waste. It's a waste to serve God? It's a waste to be invested in spiritual things? No, you are messed up if you think that way. Right. I have not wasted my life serving Almighty God. I have not wasted my time getting up and getting ready to come to church to preach the Word of God. I don't waste my time when I knock on somebody's door, whether they're home or not. It's not a waste of my time. Why? Because I'm trying to serve Almighty God. Never let someone tell you you're wasting your time. I'll tell you who's wasting their time. Anybody living in the world, you're wasting your time. Read Ecclesiastes 3, folks. The Bible's very clear that all is vanity. Drugs, alcohol, I mean music, homes, cars, all this. Solomon said, I had it all. He said it was a waste. That's a waste. We live in America. We got all this stuff. We spend all of our time on so many things. I'm tired of having to beg Christians to be in the house of God. I'll just be honest with you. I'm going to keep doing it. But it's like I got to convince them, you know. I got to convince you to come to church. Gerald, you got to be here, man. It's real important. It's just blowing my mind. I'm busy. I got this going on. This. What do you mean? You don't understand. You are never wasting your time if you invest anything spiritually. You don't waste your time when you read your Bible. You don't waste your time when you pray. You never waste. I just think we're off track. I tell you what the waste is, to have all that we have and to not be invested in spiritual things. For what shall it profit a man if he gaineth the whole world but loses his own soul? Now that's a pretty big waste to me. Pretty big waste to me to have enlightenment, knowledge of the Word of God, of spiritual things, and do nothing with it. There's going to be a lot of people crying at the Bema Seat Judgment Seat of Christ saying, man, did I blow it, and there's no second chance. No second chance. Let me tell you something, though. You know what I get out of this? When I give, it's not a waste. It's never a waste to help my neighbor. It's never a waste to do something for God. Never a waste. Oh, some thought it was a waste. Those pious religious people thought it was a waste. But she didn't. Third thought I get out of this very clearly. And I like this. Judas, of course, was thinking about, you know, this, the material thing and the ointment and the value of that and the monetary value and how better uses it could be put instead of pouring it on somebody's head and all that kind of stuff. But then the third thought I got out of this was this. We should value people over materials. I want you to back up for just a second. Put yourself in Mary's situation. She knows what she has is valuable. She knows her other options. She can invest it, you know, and retire. Okay? She can take that year's salary and not touch it for 20, 30 years and do really good. I think she probably knows that. She could go sell it and buy something that she really wants. I mean, year's salary, come on, that's a lot of money. I mean, how'd you like it if someone came up and said to your boss, guess what? I'm going to pay you this year's salary, but as a bonus, I'm going to give you another year's salary. Anybody be excited about that? Yeah, you're going, can it happen? That'd change your life. If you had an extra year's salary, it would change your life to get just one extra year's salary. That's phenomenal. To get a month's salary would probably change your life. 2 months, 3 months, I mean, it would be life-changing. She's got something life-changing in her hand. Do you understand this? From a monetary value, she's got options afforded to her. She knows this. But what a risk she takes. Woo! What a risk she takes. She takes that ointment and she goes up to Jesus without asking him ahead of time, without any permission of, would you mind if I go ahead and dab your head, you know, and anoint your feet and just pour this oil and make you the spectacle to everybody? Would that be okay to you? What if he says, stop, woman. Stop. You ever have somebody come up to you and touch you and you don't like it? Yeah. Here we go. I mean, it's a risk. I remember growing up when I first started liking girls. And girls, we have to let you understand. The reason that we don't come up and let you know that we like you, because it's a risk. No, it is. You might say, ew. Oh, don't laugh. That happened to me once. I know this. I was at youth camp, and I don't know, probably 11 and 12, and there's this girl I liked, you know, and of course I had no chance. But anyways, you know, she was like, you know, the top-looking person at all of camp, you know, 600 people. And I'm walking with my good friend, who was no longer my good friend, and they kind of did something that crazy, but they was like, they did a banquet on Friday night, and at 12 years old, you're supposed to ask somebody out. Talk about pressure. Don't ever do this at a youth camp. That is so dumb. So anyway, I'm like, oh, I got to ask somebody out. Well, man, if I had to ask somebody out, I'd ask her. Well, my friend, trying to be helpful, goes, great, I'll go ask her. So he takes off running to her. I mean, he ran over there to ask her. And I'm like, yeah! He gets over there, they're about 30, 40 feet away. And he turns and says, listen, my friend would like to take you to the Friday night banquet. And all I hear was, no way! I feel about this big. My friend comes back. I begin to beat him to death. Yeah, it's tough, man. You go to ask a girl out, man, it's tough. I mean, you can ask a friend. I probably waited a year before I ever asked a friend out. A year? You say you that scared? Yeah. Girls are scary. And you're a scary being, man. I just watched her for a year. I mean, I did. I tried to give little signals, you know, and stuff like that. But I was like, man, I got to time this perfectly. So you do little things and see the response. If it's a good response, you're like, yeah, this is good, man. This is good. You just got to keep going. And finally, the opportunity comes. I remember when I even went to ask her, we went and sat down by the tree. At Baptist Bible College, it was the tree. You know, it was kind of like the dividing point between the guys and girls dorm, and you couldn't cross that line, and you get demerits, you know, in trouble. And so the tree's where everybody met, okay? So we sat down at the tree, and I was so nervous. And I remember looking at her and saying, I got to ask her to go out with me. And so she's sitting there, and I turned just, and it's really cool. I started talking to myself. And I turned and said, gee, I hope she says yes. I need to ask her. Anyways, what I was wondering, and man, I hope this goes good. And right then, she should have ran. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. Should have ran. He said, man, were you nervous? Yeah, you know why? Because I was waiting to hear, nope. You know this, oh, can't we be, are you ready? Can't we be friends? Just shoot us if you're going to say that, okay? Get it over with. You know, by the way, guys, if they ever say, can't we be friends? You know what it means. Yeah, over, done with, you know. Yeah, you'll be friends, but forget it, you know. I mean, so I'm sitting there, man, it's a risk. I'm telling you, it's scary when you start getting involved in relationships like that. So I can imagine Mary. Now, it's not a love thing in essential things we're talking about there. But it's a risk she's taking. It's a big risk. She's giving up a year's salary to anoint Jesus. She don't know what the response is going to be back. It's going to be, woman, what are you doing? This is not the time. You've already broken the seal. Wow. Okay, you're done. Is it going to be accepted? You don't know. What a risk. But you know what? People, Jesus was more important to her than anyone else. You know what Christianity ought to be about? It ought to be about people. And can I just remind you of something that is a cliche to most of us? I think we all know that people are supposed to be more important. But can I just remind you that they really are? They really are. And you ought to invest in the lives of people. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It will cost you. And I'm going to warn you right now. If you invest in people, you will get burned. You will get burned. Invest anyways. Invest anyways. You know why? The greatest joys of life come in relationships with people. They really do. And although you're going to get some people to stab you, some people to talk about you, some people to gossip about you, that doesn't compare to the great relationships that you will develop. So let me tell you, as a man who's been there, we deal with people every day of our lives. You'd think as a church, with all that we invest in people, that everybody would always be happy, excited, and appreciative. Wake up. I mean, we have people lie, we have people yell, we have people abandon, we have people ignore. I mean, we've led people to the Lord and they go to another church. I'm like, excuse me. We told you about God. Hello. Yeah, I want to go over with my friends now who never said a word to me. Yeah. I'm like, okay. I mean, seriously, it happens all the time. We'll baptize people, we'll help people, we'll invest, I mean, months and months and years and pray for them and talk to them and disciple them and teach them and preach them, and they gone. You think, well, preacher, why do we do that? Let's just stop. Because people are more important than anything. And although you're going to get burned and you're going to get stabbed and all that kind of stuff, who cares? Man, we do it to Jesus all the time, don't we? And he still loves us. So if you've given up on people, let me help you. Don't. It's a risk, and sometimes you get burned. But there will be more blessings involved in dealing with people than anything else you ever do. Anything you ever do. Well, finally, as I look at the story, and we could probably spend a lot of time on that, I look at this, and I wrote down, we need to seize the opportunity. You know, Jesus said this, the poor you have with you always. I could have sold that and given it to the poor. And Jesus said, yeah, and they'll be there tomorrow. And the next day, not that you should never help the poor, but not stop what he's saying. Jesus knew, within a week, I'm gone. I'm gone. Let me tell you something that's real important in our lives. There are certain opportunities that come and go. Come and go. And we're not talking about television things. We're not talking about salesmen. You ever notice that every year it's the biggest and best sale they've ever had? I mean, if you ever go to buy a car, this is it, final sale, until next week. They just never tell you that. No, this is your last chance to buy this until we put it on the internet. I mean, it blows me. We fall for that stuff. Okay, I'll go out and get it now, you know, last chance. We get ourselves investing in so many things that really are frivolous. But I want to talk to you for just a minute. Now, stop thinking about this. Let's say Mary, the Holy Spirit comes to Mary, which he did. I firmly believe this. Holy Spirit comes to Mary and says, okay, take the ointment, give it. Oh, whoa, that's a year's salary. What do you mean? No, that's the most important thing I have. I know, but remember, he saved your soul and saved your brother. I know, and I love him so much, but oh, the struggle. What if she debated it for a week? Yeah, so we always think, well, preacher, I have all the opportunities in the world. It's America. Man, if I just put it off, it's a... If she waits one more week, she's not in this book. You never hear this story. She waits one more week, he doesn't get anointed from her. Maybe the Holy Spirit impresses somebody else. He's a big God. She misses all the blessings. She misses all the rewards. She misses everything. 1 week. All right, are you with me? Let me tell you something right now. There are opportunities that will come to you that when they come, you better take them when they come. There are times when God will bring people into your life. The Holy Spirit of God will be impressed with you saying, open your mouth and witness to them. You don't have time to debate it. You don't have time to argue it. Folks, open your mouth and witness to them. Why? Seize the opportunity. There are things that will come in your life, opportunities that will come once in a lifetime. And if you miss them, and if you're not close to God, sensitive to God, they'll go right by you, and you'll never know until you get to heaven. I am amazed, I believe, that when we get to heaven, how many things that we've missed out on that God wanted for us. I'm serious about that. Why? Because we were out of church. We were out of the will of God. We were, we are saved. We're still going to heaven, but we're not fellowshipping close to Him. And so the opportunities go right by us, and we never know. Never know. I look at ours, of course, this building. I've already told you. Maybe I'm getting sentimental as I get old. I don't know. But I'm thinking, this will be it. I mean, you that are here right now and whoever comes this year, okay, in our lifetime, this is probably the only time we're right here. Now, this is it. Okay? You're either involved with it right now in the process and the excitement in the building right now, or you miss it. I mean, you miss it. It's that simple. You say, well, I preach, that's not that important. You may think that now, but you don't know what's going to happen next year. You don't know what God's going to do this next year. So you're going to be on the outside going, oh, tell me, what happened? Or you're going to be there. And I'm telling you, there's a big difference. There's a big difference. And I just began thinking about this, thinking, wow, what would happen if we just decide in our heart that we're going to seize whatever opportunities God gives us? To the best of our ability, we're going to give our all for Jesus Christ this year. Man, I don't know what He's going to do, but I'm going to tell you, great things are going to take place. Great things are going to take place. You say, preacher, what should I do? Let me give you the hint. Just do what you can with what you have right now and let God take care of the rest. You just got a little bit, minister wherever you're at right now with a little bit. God will give you more. You want great blessings, great opportunities? It comes by doing what you can. Remember Joseph? I love the story of Joseph. Everywhere he went, he just did what he could with what he had. God kept putting him in charge. You know, being in charge of jail isn't real exciting. You're still in jail. But he did it anyways. He was in charge of Potiphar's house, in charge of jail. Finally, God looked at that and said, you know what? I think you're ready for the big house. He says, now you're second in charge of all of Egypt. I said, wow, why? He just seized the opportunities again. He didn't complain about where he was at. He didn't complain about what was happening. He just said, God, this is where you have me. I'll do whatever I can right now. And Almighty God is watching everything that you and I are doing right now. He'll watch this week, next week, this year. And there's not a person here that doesn't want great blessings from God. There's not a person here that doesn't want God to stand up for them like you stood up for Mary when he says, hey, leave her alone. Man, I wish I was there to hear that. I mean, good old sanctimonious Judas says, that was wrong. He's a disciple. He's a big guy. And Jesus, instead of siding with him, says, knock it off, man. Cool. I like that. I mean, wouldn't it be nice for Jesus to, I mean, come on, you get in a fight one day and Jesus walks in, excuse me, don't touch him. That's right. That's my dad. That's right. Don't mess with me. That's cool stuff, man. So I read stuff like that and I go, man, that's so exciting. Wouldn't it be nice that because you were so dedicated, so invested in the things of God, that when somebody decided to oppose you, God stood up and said, I don't think so. See, every one of us wants that, but it only comes to those who are going to seize the opportunity. Folks, I don't know what your opportunity is going to be this year, but I'm going to tell you something right now. You'll have none. You'll have none if you're not doing at least the basic, normal things for Jesus Christ. If you're not going to do the basics, don't expect the great things. It will not come. But if you want to see some great things from God, you want to experience some miracles and get out of this lackadaisical, apathetic, complacent lifestyle of just kind of maintaining. If you want it, then you're going to have to take some risks, some biblical risks. And when you do it, great things will happen. I was sent this week something interesting, and I'll close with this. Brother Scott sent this to me as an encouragement, and I appreciate it. It was good. But I thought I'd share it with you all as well. It's a quote from Theodore Roosevelt. And I just thought it was very appropriate. It is not the critic who counts. It's not Judas who counted. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbled, or whether the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, and spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly. It is far better to dare mighty things, to win glorious triumphs, even though checkered by failure, even though checkered by failure, than to rank with those poor spirits who neither enjoy nor suffer much because they live in the gray twilight of life, knowing neither victory nor defeat. And I thought, wow, we're going to try to accomplish something great for God. Some may stand and say, it'll never work. You're going to fall on your face. To that I say, then we fall. Then we fall. But I'd much rather fall flat on my face serving Almighty God, giving it everything that I've got, than to live a gray, dull, mediocre life with nothing. Just kind of existing day to day. I just get up, go to work, watch television. Get up, go to work, watch television. Get up, go to work, watch television. Now that sounds exciting. Or I can invest myself in something great. Jesus Christ and people. I think I'll try that. Let's stand. Lord, we come to now, Lord, and we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you that Mary would risk such an investment, such an embarrassment. And Lord, it was worth it. Even if she'd been ridiculed and mocked by Jesus, Lord. Even if, I should say, all the disciples had ridiculed her, Lord. It would have been worth it, because let me change that. We know that you would not have ridiculed her or mocked her. No, that would not be appropriate. We know that would not have happened. But if everybody in that home but you was against her, Lord, it would have been worth it. Lord, help us to attempt great things for you. Help us through faith, Lord, and the power of your word, Lord. Take these principles and not just hear them, Lord. We have too many people that are hearers of the word and not doers. We live in a society that has great knowledge, much information, but little action. Few do what they ought to do with the knowledge that they have. Lord, help us this year to do more with the knowledge that we have concerning spiritual things than we ever have before. To put into practice that which we do know. To seize the opportunities that you give us, Lord. To take biblical risks, Lord. Spiritual risks, Lord. To reach out to those in need and attempt great things for you. You know, Lord, you know we're doing that with the building. We're excited about it, Lord, and we thank you for it ahead of time. Lord, we do pray that you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and visit us in the historic Ponkin Theater Building. Give us a chance to get to know you. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.